I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Well, if you've been following along with us, you've been studying with us in the book of Ruth, and we're now in the chapter 4 of the book of Ruth. And we left off the last time by looking at Ho Such a One. Now, Boaz was a near kinsman, but as we've read, we found out that there was a near kinsman who was nearer than Boaz, one who could redeem Naomi. And as Ho Such a One found out, he would not only redeem Naomi and receive the land and all of that that went with it, but he also had to marry Ruth. And this is something that he didn't want to do. He said, okay, I can't do it. I can't redeem. First of all, he said he would, and then he said, well, I can't do it. He found out he would have to marry Ruth, and this just stopped everything for him. And we left off the last time, and I told you that in order for someone to be a redeemer, it's not only necessary for the person to be willing to redeem, but also to be able to redeem. And you know, I said, thank the Lord, Jesus was not only willing, he was able to redeem us. He is able to redeem us and make us fit for the kingdom of heaven. He redeems us to himself. And there's so many verses that we can read that talk about this. And in 1 Peter 1:18 through 20, we read that the last time. And Galatians 3:13 and 14, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We've been set free because Jesus Christ loved us so much, he's redeemed us. Titus chapter 2, 13 and 14 says this, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Yes, Jesus Christ was not only willing to redeem, but he is also able to redeem. Well, now we look in verse 7, and we see something about a shoe here. It says, now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. And we see there, this is following a custom. Of all the Jewish customs involving shoes, the most, I believe, the most unusual and fascinating is that of the laws of, there's a Jewish word called halitatsa, going back to Deuteronomy. Now, I may be saying that word wrong. I don't know. I'm not Jewish, but, you know, I may be saying that, but there's a Jewish law. And it goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 through 9, when you read about that. It's when a married man dies and childless and leaving an unmarried brother, the brother is obligated to marry his widowed sister-in-law. And the rationale for that was called a levirate marriage, and it was to continue the name of the bloodline and the assets and the soul of the deceased brother through the subsequent marriage and children. This lineage would be carried on. Now, I would ask you later on to read Deuteronomy 25 and verses 5 through 10, and you'll read about this law. Well, in the case of Boaz and Ruth and Ho Such a One, we see that there were no brothers around. You remember, both the brothers had died, Naomi's sons, so there was no brother. So this fell to a near kinsman, and Ho Such a One was a nearer kinsman than Boaz, but he could not redeem. So we see now Boaz, and as we continue on and read this, something else about this shoe is that it's a symbol of the transaction. This tradition is part of the color and romance of Jewish tradition and life. It's also part of the spiritual tradition. And we see that the Calabists describe the body as the shoe of the soul. And this is Jewish, of course. And just as shoes protect feet from the dirt, so too does the soul require the body as a shoe to protect it during its journey in the physical world. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, we say, oh, God, how long am I going to have to put up with this old sinful body? I'm waiting for you, Lord, to come and take me home in the rapture of the church. Or if I die first, the body gives up the breath of life first. Whatever it is, Lord, I'm praying that, you know, I don't want to go too soon. But, you know, this old body's given me a lot of trouble. It's sick. And, you know, I just have a lot of temptations come into my life. Well, this old body, we sort of beat up this old body. But do you know, we need to be thankful that God's given us this body. It's a covering for the soul, and it's a means for us to get around, and it's especially the means for us to get around and tell people about Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful that we can say that we have Jesus as our Redeemer, and we can tell others about Him? Well, so we've seen in verse 7 that the shoe custom was concerning redeeming, changing, in other words, to confirm all things. Well, taking off of the shoe was a custom. It was a legal binding transaction in Israel. And as we read in verse 8, it says, therefore, the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. Well, this is an oath unspoken. A man's word should be his bond. Do you remember when someone would say, well, my word is my bond? Well, that's few and far between anymore, and that's not right. But such a one's bond, his oath, was taking off his shoe. He said, this is, you know, I'm saying that the transaction is finished, and that Boaz can now have the responsibility and the privilege of redeeming Ruth. Well, now, we continue on now in chapter 4 of Ruth, verses 9 and 10. And we see the purchase taking place here. And Boaz said unto the elders and to all the people, remember, he's at the gate, there were 10 witnesses, and the people had gathered around, I'm sure, to see this transaction of business take place. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Verse 10 goes on to say, moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. In other words, through the Redeemer, the dead shall live. Well, Boaz said, the elders and all the people were witnesses to the transaction that had taken place between him and such a one. Boaz had bought everything that was Elimelech's, Chilion's, and Mahlon's from Naomi. Ruth chapter 4 and verse 9 talks about that, and we've read that. Well, Boaz had not only purchased land from Naomi, he had also purchased Ruth. You say, well, that don't sound right to me. Well, that was a Jewish custom back then. And Boaz purchased Ruth to keep the name of Mahlon alive. This was her dead husband, of course. And John 11:25 says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He's not speaking to Ruth now, he's speaking to the woman. And he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And the Bible teaches us that we are dead in trespasses and sins until we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do that, he purchases us from that. He purchases us from the slave market of sin, and we become his. And then one day, I spoke of death a few minutes ago, but you know, for the Christian, the sting of death, the old stinger's been pulled, because in 1 Corinthians 15:55 it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The grave does not have dominion over me, because I'm going to be with the Lord once this breath of life leaves me. I will be with the Lord, whether he comes back in the clouds for me or however I go, I'm going to be with the Lord, and the grave is not going to hold me. And it's not going to hold you either if you know Jesus as your Savior. Well, we read about Mahlon, and Mahlon would be remembered because of the redeeming act of Boaz, according to verse 10 of chapter 4 of Ruth. And you know, we're remembered by the redeeming act of Christ, just as Mahlon is remembered by the redeeming act of Boaz. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, "And you, being dead in your sins," and this is what I mentioned earlier, "being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." In the sight of God, we're alive. In the sight of the sight of the old flesh is going to die, but we will never die. The soul will never die, because we're going to go to be with the Lord. And he sees us right now as if we are already in heaven. Well, we keep reading here, and we see a blessing here in verse 11. It says, "And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah." They're pronouncing a blessing here. It says, let your house be like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem." And that word Ephratah, you look that up, it's in the Word of God. And you'll find that in the book of Micah, Bethlehem Ephratah. Look that up and read that. Read that chapter of chapter 5 of Micah. Well, we see here the blessing, and the elders and the people speak, and the people and elders present a blessing. And said, first of all, we are witnesses. Well, the transaction that the witnesses witnessed was between such a one, Boaz, Naomi, and Ruth. The people and elders pronounced a blessing on Ruth and Boaz in verse 11. The blessing that Ruth would be like Rachel and Leah. Why was this? Because through these two women and their handmaids came the children of Israel. And you go back and read Genesis 29, 16, verses 20 and 25 and 27, and you read more about this. But notice the blessing that Boaz would be honored in Ephratah and be famous in Bethlehem. Well, Micah, and I'm going to go ahead and read that verse. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Now, next time I'm going to pick up with this verse, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, and we're going to look at the birth of our Savior. We're going to look at the birth of our Redeemer. And we're going to see how this all ties together and where he would come from, what would take place before he was even born and how he was born. Do you know him today as your Savior? If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, he's waiting for you. He wants you to know him as your Redeemer. Why not ask him to come into your heart today? You could say something like this, "Lord, the best I know how, I'm sorry for my sin. The best I know how, I'm confessing that sin, and I'm asking you to forgive me and come into my heart. I want to see you one day, and I want to go to heaven. Would you save me today so I can be on my way to heaven?"
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.